Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking along the lines of fintech. This has been one of the hottest areas of investment for startups in and around the continent, made popular by the advent of things like mobile payments and mobile wallets over the last couple of years. Some of the big famous examples that we've had is obviously M-Pesa that came out of East Africa. And, you know, more and more we see telecoms companies and other types of companies getting in on the action. And for today, we are going to be talking to the team from Chipper Cash. They are a fintech that specializes in peer-to-peer payments. And we are joined by Pardon Mujakachi, who is head of strategy and partnerships at Chipper Cash Africa. He joins us from Harare to give us some insight into what they're doing in the business. They recently raised $100 million in a Series C funding, making them one of the highest funded fintechs on the continent. And that's the discussion that we are going to be having. How did things begin? Where do they see things going? And how do they hope that things are going to get there? Pardon, greetings to you today.
Greetings to you, Mudiwa. Greetings to your viewers and listeners. How are you?
I'm not doing all right on this end. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for, just joining us for today. It's really been an interesting time for startups on the continent. And, it's always great to hear more and more of the startups and raising more money. Recently, we had the team from GoOne, which recently got to its $1 billion valuation with a $200 million raise recently. So it's great to see more and more companies. I think the other day we heard of Andela reaching $1.5 billion in terms of its valuation. So all of those things are doing well. But as we begin, Pardon, maybe you can give us some insight into Chipper Cash Africa. What is it that you guys actually do, and how long has the business been around for?
Okay. So Chipper Cash, thanks for the opportunity. So Chipper Cash is the fastest growing fintech money transfer operator today, right? We are in cross-border money transfer. We also allow our customers to send money in-country, what we call peer-to-peer. We also offer discounted airtime. There are a number of also other value-added services that we're pushing to the market, giving our customers the opportunity to buy, hold, or sell cryptocurrency. We also give our customers across Africa an opportunity to invest in U.S. fractional stocks. So what we have built is a digital platform that is giving our customers across Africa the freedom to transact. We are a fairly young company founded in 2018 by Hem and Majid, two entrepreneurs from Uganda and Ghana, respectively, who are currently based in San Francisco. These two folks, they were attending school in the States and then realized that the convenience that they were enjoying from the American financial services were virtually not available in Africa. As you are aware that Africa is underbanked, I think we are looking at about 50% of the population that is not banked. So what we are trying to do is to provide financial inclusion or the ability to perform a number of transactions. So we are giving them the tools or the levers to do that. So what we have today is a platform that has got over 4 million customers connecting countries, one transaction at a time. So today we've got footprint in 7 African countries. We're looking at Nigeria, we've got good footprint in Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania, and now South Africa. We are also sending money from the US and the UK. We're looking at north to south as far as the remittances are concerned. So we are a digital platform, the fastest growing in Africa.
If you don't mind my asking, when it comes to that roadmap that you've just given to us, you said you guys are a fairly young company and started in 2018, but you've already been able to gain all of this traction across the continent. What informs which countries you guys decide to actually get into?
In fact, our vision is to connect the whole continent. So today we're in seven, but we are trying to connect all the countries. But obviously, we're starting with the big ones. If you look at the likes of Nigeria, the likes of Ghana, from a cross-border remittance point of view, the likes of South Africa, Uganda, Kenya, those are big, call them tier one markets from a remittance point of view. But the focus for us is just to make sure that every African has an opportunity to send and receive money. Every African is financially included, and every African can invest in fractional stocks. That's our mandate, that's our vision. So we're not just looking at selected countries. We want the whole continent to be cheaper.
When it comes to the actual business model, I think I keep hearing you talking about the fractional share ownership. In a market like South Africa, I think about companies like Easy Equities that have really been pushing on that front. But from a fintech point of view, we often hear mainly about peer-to-peer payments. The airtime that you spoke about. About the ability to buy things like utility to pay for utility bills such as electricity, that type of thing. But we don't often hear about an investment sort of angle to it, such as the fractional share ownership that you're talking to us. Maybe you can talk to us about some of the aspects of the business model, how you guys actually decided that this was something that you wanted to do, and why you've decided that things like fractional share ownership are important.
So if you look at our model, we are targeting an everyday person, an ordinary person who is in Soweto, an ordinary person who is in Abuja, an ordinary person who is in Uganda, who is today financially excluded or who doesn't have the freedom to participate in this financial space. I know there are other players, but most of these players, they are targeting the already included or the already banked. So our focus is just to make sure that an everyday person has got access to financial services. So if you look at our model today, look at it like an Egyptian pyramid. At the base, where we are offering our customers the ability to send money to each other, the peer-to-peer, right? We are not charging anything. We are using this as a tool, right, to access customers. We're using this as a tool to acquire as many customers as possible, or to give our customers an opportunity to transact or to be participants in the financial space. We call this the risk-free entry model. So anyone can come in and test or sample the cheaper experience without any cost. That's why we've got free P2P. So we start to recruit customers there. Then the next layer, once you have downloaded our app and funded your wallet, then there are a number of exciting value proposition or use cases that we start to appeal to them. One of them is the fractional stocks. If you look at the stocks, the US stocks, for example, today, if you want to buy an Amazon share or a Netflix or a Facebook, right, you need a bit of money. So most of our customers, the everyday person that I was talking to, might not have the 1,000, $2,000 or the 3,000 to buy a single share, right? So we are giving them an opportunity to buy a fraction of that share. By so doing, we are giving them an opportunity to participate in the global economy. We're not just doing this for the shares. Even if you look at the cryptocurrency, they can buy also a fraction of a Bitcoin or Ethereum or USDC. If you've got 100 rands in your wallet, you can buy a Bitcoin or a fraction of a Bitcoin. What this means is that we are giving our customers accessibility and affordability. Because even if we look at the cost of just buying, holding, and selling, it's almost like next to nothing. So over and above those products that I've mentioned, the fractional stocks and the crypto assets, there are other products and services that we are giving to our customers. We are looking at the ability to do bill payments, to buy airtime at a discounted rate, and also to perform other services. If you want to do e-commerce, we've got virtual cards on our platform. So if you look at our model, we call it a freemium model. We're not making money on the traditional P2P. We'll start to make money on the other products. For example, if you look at the cross-border, which is a euro offer that we have today, you can do inbound or outbound, but we don't charge fees. We've got a small spread that we put on the FX. So we are a low-cost player. In fact, we are disrupting the remittance or the mobile money space across Africa.
When it comes to the opportunity then, because I'm just thinking about the financial inclusion aspect that you've spoken quite extensively about, and you know that the peer-to-peer, the cross-border remittances, as well as that ability to buy, you know, fractional ownership of shares and all of that. When it comes to South Africa specifically, there's a couple of things that you know I think people will be curious about, because some of the mobile payments businesses specifically have not done well in South Africa. You know, M-Pesa, you know, came in and then they decided that this was the market that was not for them. I think in the last year or so, MTN has made, you know, some gains in the local market. And to your earlier point, in South Africa, you have 3/4 of the population, almost 80% of people being banked, which has been attributed as one of the reasons why mobile wallets and all of that haven't necessarily worked. You know, so from that point of view, taking all of those factors into consideration, because I'm sure you guys have done a lot of your own research around all of these things, you know, what are you expecting? What are you guys expecting out of South Africa? What's the opportunity that you guys are seeing? How are you hoping to actually capitalize on the market?
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. So what we are building are not products and services. What we have is an ecosystem. We've done our homework, especially around South Africa, the pain points and the needs. If you look at South Africa today, right, we're looking at 157 billion in terms of domestic remittances each year, and 24 million people sending money to each other, and 7.7 million people travel across provinces for work, and these guys, they need to support each other financially. So just from a market point of view, we believe that the market is there and it's huge. Even if you look at the population of the unbanked, looking at 25%, it's significant. Even if you look at the ordinary person in South Africa today, yes, they might be banked, but they don't have full access to the product and services that I was talking about. Just an ordinary person to perform or to buy, sell cryptocurrency, somebody who is in Soweto, Deep Sloot, they don't have the access. So they could be banked, but most of them, they're underbanked. So we believe that the market is there and it's huge. But the way we have structured our proposition, it's unique. Unique from what we've seen or what exists in the market today. Because what we've built is it's like an ecosystem. It's not just a group of products and services. If you look at people who have tried the P2P, they're putting a fee. I mean, it's structured differently. But if you look at our model, it's free P2P, right? Which gives our customers an opportunity to experience it. And if you experience our platform, you'll see that it's simple, it's easy to use, right? And the cost are quite reasonable when you start to perform other value-added services. So we are using the freemium or the free P2P to acquire customers. You're saying every South African today, you might be a migrant or a citizen of South Africa, you have got a need to send money to each other. And more importantly, we're doing it for free. The number two, the cross-border element is a huge part of our ecosystem. If you look at the size today, just money moving out, you're looking at about 2.7. This is the formal channels. If you put the informal into the equation.
Sorry, just a quick one. Because I'm noting the numbers. The numbers that you're quoting, are these in dollars or in rands?
So if you look at 2.7 billion, this is USD.
Okay, yeah.
2.7 USD moving out of South Africa through formal channels, right? If you take the informal into consideration, it can be 10x. That could be 27 billion or more that is just moving out of South Africa. That's a big market. But you also realize that this money is moving through most of the money, like 68%, through the informal channel like your Malaysians, your bus drivers. So we believe that the market is there. But the problem that we have today is the cost. So if you're sending money, for example, from South Africa to Zimbabwe or South Africa to Nigeria today, you're charged about 10%. If you're using the traditional players, that could be 15. If you're looking at the banks, that could be between 25 and 30. And that's expensive. So if you look at our model, it's changing that. So we're putting a little spread on the FX. So we're looking at plus or minus 3%, and that's a big deal. So we believe that there's a market that we can disrupt. Then if you look at the product that I was talking about, the investment products, it could be crypto or stocks. It's still very difficult for an ordinary person to access those products in South Africa today. So our platform is giving our customers an opportunity to access those products easily and at an affordable price. And more importantly, again, the speed is an important component. So for example, if you look at the P2P in South Africa, if you're moving money from one bank to another, it can take you up to 3 days. Even if you look at the cross-border, you're sending money from UK to South Africa, it can take you up to 3 days. But if you're doing cheaper to cheaper, that's an instant proposition. So we believe that what we have is a game changer for South Africa.
How do you guys think you guys stack up against competitors? I think around the world, in Africa at least, you have the likes of Mukuru, you have the likes of I think World Remit. I remember recently I had to make a payment in Kenya, send money to someone in Kenya, and using World Remit, it took, I'd say, roughly 3 to 5 minutes for money to come out of my bank account and to actually arrive in someone's mobile wallet that was on the other side, So for maybe and I know that on that end it's the mobile wallet was an M-Pesa wallet. So from that point of view, because I think you spoke earlier about an ecosystem, so maybe you can talk to us about, how all of that compares, because one of the things I understand, to the point that you made just now, is the fact that the cost of all of these remittances, it can be quite prohibitive for most people, which is why people tend to rather deal in cash. Because if you are sending, let's say, I'm just thinking about it, if you decide to send 100, maybe $1,000 with a bus driver to Zambia or something, $1,000 is roughly 15,000 rand. At 10%, that means you'd be paying the bank or whoever it is 1,500 rand. But if you gave, let's say, a bus driver to send that same amount of money, you could probably give them, about, 300 to 500 rand, and they would be happy because, it covers whatever cost they have on their end, drinks, food, whatever it is. So maybe you can talk to us about that ease and that convenience.
Yeah. So let me start just talking about the convenience, because the transactions are happening within our ecosystem. It's from one cheaper account to another. So which means that particular transaction happening in that ecosystem is instant. You're talking about minutes, but here we're talking about seconds here. It's almost like the transaction happened within the same environment. And that's a key differentiator. I was talking about sending money from the US to South Africa. You're using a number of players, a number of operators in the ecosystem. That transaction can be instant. But what we've done within our ecosystem is to allow those kind of transactions to happen. So if you are from Nigeria, you're sending money to Uganda, that transaction is instant because it's one cheaper customer to another. So we are cutting across platforms, we're cutting across banks, we're sitting on top just to make sure that those transactions are instant. I think that's a key differentiator. The second one, we talked about the cost. Even if you look at the cost today, it's still prohibited. I think the average cost sending money to Africa is around 9-10%, which is still high. If you look at the target of 3% that the United Nations is pushing, it's too hard. It's too high. So we are operating in that space of around plus or minus 3%. Very few operators are in that space. In fact, if you look at our cross-border transactions, they are zero rated. So we make a little bit of margin on the spread. So that's another differentiator. What we have also started to do is to say, instead of just giving our customers one or two products, we've created a rich ecosystem, because they're not just sending money across, but they've got other needs as well. It could be investment, or they want to support each other. So we are growing our ecosystem so that if somebody joins the cheaper world, they'll be able to enjoy not just the peer-to-peer or the cross-border, but there's so much more that is available in the ecosystem. Yes, there are players in that space, but I think the way we've structured our proposition is unique in terms of safety, speed, affordability, and the experience.
One of the things that you then think about when one thinks about all of this is where the real money is going to be made. So with everything that you've spoken about, there are a couple of legs to the business that you described earlier on. What from your experience in the various countries, what tends to be the biggest push, the biggest thing that people are using ChipperCash for? Is it more the cross-border type of remittances, or is it more the in-country peer-to-peer payments that people are making? Is it more people in-country sending money to each other, or is it more the people sending money across borders?
So if you look at the use cases, I think most of them, they are very popular, but there are a number of them that are outstanding. So we've got the cross-border piece across Africa. I was talking about Africa as an expensive country in terms of moving money across the borders. So that's the most popular service that we have today. Just the ability to send money from South Africa to Zambia or from Nigeria to Uganda instantly. So that's very popular. The number two, what we've also seen is that the crypto currency product, the ability to do Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USDC is also very popular with a certain segment of the market. And we've started to see a lot of traction happening around that particular proposition. But what I want to say is that the other product, they are coming in to strengthen the core or the hero proposition or the hero use cases. So you can't have a cross-border without the free P2P. People, they want to send to each other, and they also want to be able to do it across the borders. So this is the interconnectedness of these products that is key in the cheaper ecosystem.
Okay, no. That makes perfect sense. So in terms of the launch in South Africa, how much progress have you guys made on that end? You know, for someone who's interested in actually using the service, is it already available? Is it coming? Is the full suite of offerings already on offer? Where do we stand in South Africa?
So we launched South Africa last week. So our customers can download our app. It's available for free on iOS store or Android stores. So they can download and start to experience the cheaper world today. But I think the most exciting thing is that over and above downloading, they will be able to fund their wallets seamlessly and also start to do domestic peer-to-peer transactions. We've also added airtime, which is discounted, and we're also giving our customers an opportunity to buy crypto assets on the platform. So those products, they are already available on our platform, so they can start to experience them today.
Okay, cool. And then as we're sort of, rounding off, where do you see what do you call this? Where do you see the world of fintech sort of going? Because from a mobile wallets and payments to payments point of view, you guys seem to have really differentiated yourselves, firstly on cost, but also at the same time on the range of products such as fractional share ownership and also the cross-border remittances that you spoke about earlier. What direction do you guys sort of see the fintech world going in? We see other companies getting into, we see other fintech operators getting into things like insurance, some have even played around with creating digital tokens and stable coins of some sort. Where do you guys sort of see things going, especially in Africa?
So if you look at our model, so from just let me just look at from an investment point of view. So today we're doing US stocks. There is an opportunity for us to then start to look at other stock markets around the world, so that everyone everywhere has got an opportunity to choose from the stock markets that they would want to participate in. So we have got an opportunity to play in that space as well. Then there are also other elements or other products and services that will complement our existing portfolio. We are looking at microinsurance, micro loans that we are also starting to explore. There are a number of industry verticals that we have started to look at that I can't share maybe at this point in time. But our thinking is that we want to broaden the offering and also to deepen the existing offering so that our customers, they've got a broad range or a deeper offering that they can enjoy from. But if you just look at the basic service, just the send and receive, especially across the borders, or I don't think we've done enough. I think we've just scratched the surface. So our focus today or in the immediate future is just to make sure that every African is given an opportunity to participate in the financial space. So we are connecting more countries. We are also opening more corridors for north to side remittances, just to make sure that the basic product is available to everyone without even starting to spread or starting to attack other industry verticals. We just need to make sure that the basic product is available to everyone everywhere.
And then on the last point, given all the different corridors that you guys are opening between the various countries on the continent, 2 points. Firstly, what's your target? Do you guys have any targets in terms of the number of users that you guys want to achieve? I think people might want to might be curious around how big of a market you guys are trying to capture, let's say in South Africa and across the continent. And then the second bit is from a funding point of view, because that's where we began this conversation. 100 million, recently raised. I think I saw a report about the fact that there was a Series B funding that took in $30 million sometime last year. Are there any plans? Usually in these conversations, people want to know if there's any plans to list the business anytime soon. So yeah, those 2 points.
Like what I said, I think we've just scratched the surface. I mean, given the problem that we are trying to solve here of financial exclusion. So our target really is just to make sure that we capture each and every country and just make sure that Africans have got access. I mean, we're looking at plus or minus a billion Africans. 50% of that population is underbanked. So we're looking at almost like half of a billion that we need to capture. We want to capture a significant part of that addressable market. So that's our quest. Then number two, obviously, for us to be able to do that or to achieve that, we need funding. So today we've got reputable funders, VCs in our ecosystem who have allowed us to expand aggressively across the continent and also across the key corridors. If you look at the likes of the UK and the US, We've got more corridors that we are adding just to make sure that money that's flowing into Africa is captured. If you look at the size of the opportunity, I think the remittance market globally, about 650 billion, about 12% of that is actually coming to Africa. So we want a sizable portion of that market. And the funding that we are raising, and we'll continue to raise, the number of rounds that are going to come will help us to achieve that vision. Without giving any specific number of customers, but we believe that we would want to penetrate deeper in South Africa and make a big difference even across Africa as we connect all the countries one transaction at a time.
All right. So that was us. We're talking to Pardon Mujakachi, who is the head of strategy and partnerships over at Chipper Cash Africa, giving us some insight into the business that was started back in 2018, but has grown quite a bit to a point where they have over 4 million customers across the continent and the presence in about 7 countries. Recently raised the $100 million that we spoke about earlier on. That translates to roughly 1.4, 1.5 billion rand, just depending on where the exchange rate is at the moment. Also talking about what's differentiating them, especially in an ecosystem where there are a number of fintech companies that have actually been growing across the continent. And he's saying that there is an opportunity to capture market share, especially when one considers that roughly half of the billion people on the continent are unbanked. So there is a need to actually bring people into more formalized ways of transacting. But more importantly, it needs to be at a much cheaper cost, because that's one of the things that's really keeping people from the formal channels, particularly when it comes to sending money in country and also between countries, which is another big opportunity that the company does see. Pardon, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Mio. Thank you, listeners.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite a fascinating discussion, and just seeing the evolution of fintech on the continent. This is one of those things that we've been keeping a close eye on, simply because it's one of those things that affects a lot of people out there. From a consumer point of view, all of these companies are fighting with cash. And if they can find a way to usurp or to surpass the convenience that cash offers for the majority of people, then you can actually get yourselves into a situation where we can talk about some of these products becoming more and more mainstream. And one really hopes that, that they do get to that stage. I think one of the more interesting bits when it comes to this is that cross-border factor, because that really does seem to be one of the big frontiers for a lot of these companies. For those that have been following this platform for some time, they'll know that we've had a number of engagements with the likes of BankServ, which literally is the one that does the clearing between the big banks in South Africa. And for them, this issue of cross-border remittances is a big issue that they themselves are trying to tackle. So the fact that the likes of Chipper Cash have been able to find a model that works for them and that it's become one of their more popular services speaks to the type of demand that's there, because Africans are on the move. And if one thinks about cross-border remittances within the context of the Africa Free Trade Agreement, which recently came into effect, then one would hope that things like that are going to allow for more movement of people around the continent. But that will in turn mean that there needs to be ways for people to be able to exchange and send value across those borders at affordable rates, which is what will likely be the recipe for success for a lot of these companies that are trying to tackle this problem. We wait to see how the space does develop, but there is a lot of discussion, a lot of money that is going into these things. I mean, right now we're talking about Chipper Cash raising $100 million, but recently we had Airtel which is one of the big operators on the continent, particularly in Nigeria. Their mobile, their fintech unit, you know, being valued at around $2.7 billion recently. The likes of MTN, whose fintech business has, you know, close to 50 million users. Being valued by some experts in the industry at around $5 billion, and then you have M-Pesa that's recently crossed 50 million customers across the continent. Its business, you know, being valued at by some estimates at as much as $7.5 billion. So all of those different metrics sort of show that there's a lot of value that's there, but more importantly, this is one of those markets that is still ripe. As much as we're talking about 50 million there, another 50 million there, 4 million with Chipper Cash, there's a billion people on the continent, which means there's a big opportunity for different players to come in and capture that market share. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.